do want to hear from our sponsors now. And the first one that I want to thank is Joshua's Crossing Ministries right here in the Promise Center. They've allowed us to use this room for the Hour of Power for 2.5 years, and we appreciate that so much. Continue to keep Les in your prayers as he's working his way through the loss of Donna. I know that he is going to get back into counseling, but I know that's going to take him a little while. So I just want you to continue to pray for him. Also, Prophetic Voice Ministries is one of our sponsors. 616 North Locust Avenue is where they're located, right here in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning and church at 11, and again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. And then they have a prayer service on Tuesday evenings at 7, and they have church on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless you. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad. And Jason Holland, our very special guest. You know, I don't know if I said in the beginning, Jason, that you are a pastor at First Baptist Church in Cheyenne.
I am.
And I can't remember if I even said that or not. But I did put that in my Facebook post this morning because I wanted people to know that you were our new pastor. So we're talking about your time in the mission field. And you were talking about you had some Spanish in high school, and I was just thinking, you know, I had Spanish and shorthand in high school, neither of one which I can do. Didn't do me much good.
When I was in high school and I learned Spanish, I was actually a senior when we moved to Argentina, and I thought, okay, I've got some Spanish under my belt, I'll be just fine. The Lord humbled me very quickly and realized I didn't know near as much as I thought I did. So getting out of the classroom and getting into the actual environment is a different animal altogether. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're now in the mission field, and you want to tell us about some of your responsibilities there, or where you, if you moved from one place to another, or how that all worked?
Okay. Before I do that, I want to mention that when we started this, I said we had two daughters. Along the way, we got us a son.
He's such a cute little guy.
He is. Titus is, we adopted him in 2018. And so the Lord kind of led us through that process. I'll go through this very briefly. But initially, I came to Jessica and I said, hey, what do you think about possibly adopting? And she said, absolutely not. she's like one of those, like, okay, I'll pray about it kind of things. You know, like, she was not really considering it. And so then several months later, I had spent a morning really just praying through God's word, kind of having a miniature spiritual retreat that morning, just praying and reading God's word. And so as I read through the book of Isaiah and just ended up seeing God's heart for the poor, the fatherless, and things like that, I just went to Jessica and I said, I really think the Lord wants us to consider adopting. And she said, that's funny, because I've been thinking the same thing for a couple of weeks now. So we began to think about it, pray about it, went through the process. This was the end of 2016. End of 2016. and then started the process shortly thereafter. I won't go into all the details because I could talk probably for an hour about the whole adoption process, but we managed to go through the process at like breakneck speed. And so in 14 months from the day we decided we were going to start until we brought him home, I mean, it was very quick. Usually it takes probably 2 years from the time you decide and send your application in until you're actually bringing your child home. But we did it very quickly. So God blessed through that whole process, provided the funds. I mean, there were more than one time I just laid in bed at night and thinking, Lord, we got a payment coming. I have no idea where this money is going to come from. But he provided every time, and it's just
a
testament to his goodness. Yeah. and to me, just confirmation that we were doing what it is that he wanted us to do in that time that he provided for us. So we added Titus to our family in early 2018, and he's been a joy to us every day since.
Well, and the song that Casey used yesterday, he said Titus had actually told him about the song.
He did. So the first time that after we moved back here, back in end of December, we went to the church and we met Casey, our music pastor, and he was just talking to us. And so he asked Titus what some of his songs that he liked were. And so Titus gave him a recommendation, told him his favorite song at the moment was called "Yet Not I, But Christ in Me." And so that was a song that Casey introduced to the church yesterday, and we sang it together. So.
Well, I noticed your whole family was singing every word. Yeah, for the rest favorites. Of us, we're just looking at the screen.
Yeah, that is one of our favorites. So,
yeah.
Well, okay. Let me tell you a little bit about some more of the missionary work that we did. So, as I said, most of my work was kind of behind the scenes supportive work. I called it support services within the organization, but my work gave me the freedom to take time to do missionary work, what you would think of as traditional missionary work. And so one of the things that we did was we partnered with another family to reach out to a people group that was about 80,000 people that lived in the mountains about 4 hours from the city we lived in. So as I said earlier, we didn't have a lot of vehicles in the area that we lived, but one of the families that lived in our city did have a vehicle. And so we would borrow their vehicle, drive out into the mountains to this village. The village sat about 10,500 feet above sea level. So every day, every time you would go out to this village, you had to spend the first day with a little bit of a headache just because of the elevation sickness. I mean, it's a long way up. 10,000 feet up is high. So we go out there. A very sweet Buddhist people group, the Southern Jarong people, and God just gave me a heart for these people. I loved them. This village we went to a little school. I think we were some of the first white faces that those kids had ever seen in person. I'm sure they'd seen on TV or videos or what have you, but we were some of the first people they had ever seen in person. And so it was a neat experience, but also just to get to know the people, share the gospel with them, pray for them. We got to be friends with a restaurant owner she had a kind of a two-level place, or it was a split level. So at ground level, she had a restaurant, and then down below, she had, I call it a hostel, but it's kind of a four-room, five-room hotel type thing. And so we would, just about any time we would go to this little village, we would stay with Yusan and her family in this hostel, and she would prepare food for us. And so we got to know her and her family, her husband and her son, pretty well over the time that we would go out there. But we would, because white people going to this village would be somewhat suspicious if we didn't have reason, we would kind of go out there and act like tourists. So every time and it's small town, so there's a limited amount of things that we can do.
80,000 doesn't sound like a small town.
They were spread out over pretty decent sized area. So we would kind of do the same touristy things every time we were out there. There was this beautiful gorge that you could go and drive back through and then kind of hike down. And so we'd go out there and go through the same touristy things over and over as we were involved in this ministry, because we wanted to be able to go out there, but also didn't want to raise suspicions from the authorities. So we would take friends with us that had never been out there. And so we would be like, oh, we're going to show our friends this beautiful little town we have found. So, you know, when our parents would come visit, we would take them out there. Or when we had friends from the States that came over there to do like short-term mission trips. That's where we would take them because like, oh, we have these more friends. We're going to bring them out here. Uh-huh. And so we're just like, it was almost like we were just kind of proud of this place. We wanted to show our friends, but it gave us an opportunity to continue going out there, try to meet people, share the gospel with people, just be involved in the lives of these people. I still love those people. I wish that there was a way that I could get back to them and just go visit them. So I'll share with you the verse that I used to pray for these people. Because they sat so high up in the mountains, about 10,500 feet, like I said, the village was. When we go into town, you kind of come, there's two ways. You can go through a tunnel that they've recently opened about 3 or 4 years ago. They opened a tunnel through the mountains, but previously had to go up over the mountains to get into the, down on the other side to where this village was. So we would come in this, we would come into the town via the tunnel, and then when we go out, we would go up over and like take our friends, our parents, and we'd kind of go hike up to the top of these mountains. And so you get almost to the top and park, and then you could just kind of climb up the mountain. So by the time we get to the top of the mountain, it's about 14 or 15,000 feet. Wow. And so we would be up there, and I was had climbed up one day. We were climbing up way up to the top of this mountain. So we parked down. It's probably 13 or 13,500 feet where we parked, and then we just kind of climbed the rest of the way up. So I was climbing up in thin air, and me not being in the greatest shape, I was taking a break. I just sat down on this on the rock and looked out over this kind of this plain, and it kind of there's mountains kind of forming this valley down below. And I just sat down on this rock, and I just was thinking of the verse in I think Psalm 121, I believe, that says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Mm-hmm. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So anytime I would think of mountains or see mountains or hills or whatever, that verse would kind of come to me and prompt me to pray for these people. And so when I go to churches and share about our work, when I talk to people, that's the verse I would share with them and say, just write down this verse, you know. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so one of the reasons I chose that verse is because those people, while they were nominally Buddhist, they really worshiped the mountains. The mountains were where they grew their crops, where their livelihood came from. Their houses all on the corner. So if this corner was the corner of their rooftop, I don't know if you can see that on the video or not, but if you can see like the corner of the table, if this was the rooftop, there would be a little bit of a, every corner would have a little like mountain peak area right there on the corner of their rooftops. And so it's where they grazed their animals. It's where they grew their crops. It's where they lived. I mean, so they worshiped the mountains. And so for me, it was, they were looking to the mountains for their help. It was where mm-hmm. their help was coming from. So my prayer for these people was that they would see that their true help comes from the God, the maker of heaven and earth. And so that's what I began to pray for them, that they would look beyond the mountains, the physical mountains, to the maker of heaven and earth, and that they would worship the true God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so that was the prayer that I had for those people. Still, when I think about it, I pray for those people and just ask that the Lord would be at work in their hearts to pray or to help them to see beyond the mountains, that they would worship him mm-hmm. as their creator. So we would go out there to this village, take our friends out there, like I said, just try to find opportunities to share the gospel with them, to pray with them. They were very sweet people, very receptive. In the time that we were out there, we did not see any conversions. No one was saved, but at the same time, seeds were sown. Like Paul said, you know, I may sow the seeds, Apollos may water, and somebody else may come along one day and reap. It's our prayer that one day somebody else would come along and they would reap that harvest, and that those people would come to know the Lord for their salvation. So we did that for a while, and then things began to change politically in the country that we were in. Became much more evident that the government knew who our organization was, what we were doing there. And they began to kind of clamp down. And so the decision was made above my pay grade to take the landing city where everybody came to learn language and move it out of that country to Taiwan. So all of the folks who would be going to learn language would then go to a city in southern Taiwan called Kaohsiung. So we moved with the landing city because it was still my job to take care of the housing and visa needs for all of the landing city folks. And so we moved out, and that was in 2019, moved out to Taiwan and worked with the landing city there in southern Taiwan for about a year. And then I had a colleague retire. He was working in our office in Taipei. And after he retired, my family and I moved up to Taipei, and I became my job title did not change, but my responsibilities did. I was essentially the business manager for the Taiwan Baptist Mission. So I had a staff of five locals local staff members that I supervised. So we had a couple of in-house accountants. We had an administrator. We have one guy who was like a jack of all trades. He did. He did a lot of what I did previously with helping people with housing and things like that.
So was the language the same there when you made that move?
It was. I liken it to American English and British English. Similar enough, you could communicate, but there are some differences. I mean, the way they say a few things is a little different. Some of the way they pronounce things is a little different. But for the most part, no problems with communication, which was good. Having to learn another language would have been daunting. So did that for a while. And so while we were in Taiwan, we were much freer. It's a democratically elected government. They have religious freedom there. We could do and say what we wanted to as far as spiritual things, religious things. And so I got invited to preach at several churches. And so I did that. I did not preach in Chinese at the churches there. My Chinese is, to use the Chinese phrase, hai ke yi, which means it's okay, but it's not good enough to preach. That's some very technical language at times, and things you want to be precise on, and my language wasn't quite good enough to be as precise as I would have liked to have been. So I would preach through an interpreter or a translator. But I did that a handful of times. And then also probably the favorite thing that I did ministry-wise while we were in Taiwan was we had the opportunity to go into schools ostensibly as English teachers, but we got to go in and share the gospel with classroom after classroom full of elementary all the way through high school students. Mm. So at Easter last year, we got to go in and we I don't know if your listeners are familiar or if anybody is familiar with, it's called Creation to Christ. Basically, you start with God created everything. It was great. Man screwed it up. And then kind of go through the story of how Christ came back to redeem the world. And you do it in a storying format. So we do share stories from Scripture, but it's in a more fluid, full story format, kind of broad picture of Scripture. And so we would go into classrooms. We would do this in English, in their English classes, pretty well everywhere. That we went in Asia, all the kids, anybody about 30 or younger probably spoke pretty good English. But we would go into the kids' classrooms, in their English classrooms, and we would do all this in English, and then somebody would translate it into Chinese. The teachers that would invite us in were all believers, and so they were like, obviously we want you guys to do this. We can't do this ourselves. Mm-hmm. But if you guys are going to come teach English, then we would love to have you. And so our family, we would go, not just my family, but there would be dozens of families, other missionaries that would go into dozens of schools across the island and just share with, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of kids. So we did that over Easter last year, and then over Thanksgiving we did it again, starting at Thanksgiving and then transitioning into Christmas last year, a couple of months ago. So Easter we would talk about, we've kind of focus on Easter, the resurrection, and tell this is the true story of Jesus and how he came to save us and all these things. And then in Christmas and Thanksgiving, we talked about Jesus' birth and how he came to save people. We talked about how his birth was the kind of foretold and all those different things. And so to me, that was so much fun, getting the kids to interact. You know, you ask them questions and you're talking with them and just having a good time with them. So that was one of the favorite things I did in our time in Taiwan was just people go into these schools, spend a day with these kids, share the gospel with them. I mean, in a day, I would probably have four classes with, 25 to 30 kids each, so close to 100 kids or more in one day. Just, you'll be able to freely share the gospel with all of them. Mm-hmm. Again, don't know what the fruit is, But we know that the gospel has been told to hundreds of kids.
And seeds have been planted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, and then last summer, so summer of 2021, we came back here to Western Oklahoma for vacation. And as we were here, I just kind of felt like the Lord was like, you know, we sat in church. We always obviously want to go to church, be with God's people. My father-in-law is the pastor at First Baptist Cordell, so go to his church, go to Claremore, go to church with my parents. Just felt like this kind of stirring in my heart that the Lord may have that for us in the future. At that time, I didn't know how soon the future was coming. In fact, I even had somebody, because Clinton First, I don't know if they've hired a pastor yet or not, but Clinton First was without a pastor, and somebody came to me and said, oh, they would just love your little family, they'd be so good. And at the time, I just said, no chance, not happening. I'm not interested in that right now. So, in September, Terrell, my father-in-law, called and said, hey, I've had somebody that's called and asked if I could get your resume. I thought, okay, well, maybe there's legs to this thing. And so I prayed about it, and Jessica and I talked about it and said, okay, well, I'll send my resume. And that was to the church in Clinton. And so I said, well, if I'm willing to send my resume to one church, I might as well be willing to send it to another church. And so my sister-in-law, Cassie, has been saying, I know of a church in Western Oklahoma that needs a pastor. She's been telling me this for a long time. I know a good little church in Western Oklahoma needs a pastor. I thought, okay, I'll humor Cassie and send my resume to Cheyenne also. And so I heard from the committee in late September, I guess, we kind of started interacting via email. We had an unusual interview process because we were still living in Taiwan. So I interviewed with them via email, asking questions of them asking questions of me, things like that. Talked with them via Zoom one night and just really felt like the Lord was in it. The next week when they had their meeting, talked to them again via Zoom, just continued to feel like the Lord was in it and was leading us that direction. So then the ball started rolling from there, and we kind of talked about, okay, how are we going to make this happen? If this is what the Lord wants, how are we going to make this happen? I'm living, 8,000 miles away. I can't just pop over for the weekend and preach. I wish that I could, time warp myself over here, but I can't do that. And they said, well, we can fly you over here. And I said, I would do that ordinarily, except in order to come back to Taiwan, they have very, very, very strict quarantine policies in place. And so I would have had to stay in a hotel by myself for 15 days and had been tested, I think, 6 times from the time I got – before I got on the airplane, 3 days before I got on the airplane, to the time I got out of quarantine, I would have had to have been tested 6 times. And just so many different logistical issues that came up. And so we eventually settled on me preaching to the church via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So rather than, in their graciousness, they did not have me preach the Sunday morning service, which would have meant I would have had to be up at 1 a.m. preaching to the noon service about 11 o'clock in the morning in Cheyenne. So they let me preach for the evening gathering. So I preached at 8 a.m. in my living room with my computer propped up on a coffee table that was sitting on top of our dining table, so it would be about eye level with me. I preached, and the church called me as their next pastor. And so we began to pack our things up and moved back overseas from overseas and landed in Cheyenne about a week before Christmas. And here we are, and thrilled to be here. Couldn't have asked for a better beginning so far.
Well, and one of the things I mentioned to you, I think before we went on air, that I'd thought about these different things. Of course, we've talked about your furniture, and you all have just got a plastic table from the fellowship hall for your dining room table and got a bed or two here and there, so everybody's got a bed. But how difficult it would be to, you're basically camping in a nice house for right now. And I said, what about a car? I just thought about that. You couldn't bring your, if you'd have brought a car over, it'd still be out there somewhere in the ocean, probably on a ship. And so you told how the Lord worked that out. Mm-hmm. And
well, so we packed up our house. We had movers come to our house in December 10th or 12th, something like that. Packed all of our stuff that we wanted to take with us. We'd sold a few things, but packed everything else we wanted to take into a 20-foot shipping container. And it is should be at the Panama Canal today, we hope. And then in Houston, at the Port of Houston tomorrow. So we'll get all of our household goods, hopefully, in the next 10 to 14 days after almost 2 months of not having things. We do have a couple of beds we've borrowed or been given to us. We're borrowing a dining table until ours shows up. But, you know, we're excited to have our things coming up very soon. We do have a vehicle. My parents knew we were going to be coming back, obviously. They knew we needed a vehicle. And so they found on Facebook some family friends from many years ago. Their son was selling a vehicle. And so they told it to me, told Jessica and I about this. I asked my parents if they'd be willing to go look at it. They said, oh, yeah, sure. So they went and looked at it. My dad said if it was him, he'd buy it. So I said, okay, let's do it. So I communicated with this guy and bought a vehicle sight unseen. And my parents went and, well, actually, this guy's brother lives right across the street from my parents. So he brought it over to my parents' house, and they met us at the airport with it. So the first time we saw it was the night we arrived. So the Lord has been good and provided for us in numerous ways. So,
well, it's a great story. And, you know, you shared with us as a church a little in, you know, when we saw you via Zoom. But I didn't know lots of these things at all. And as I told you, I couldn't even remember for sure how long you'd been in missions. I was thinking 6 or 7 years. Yeah. But what a wonderful testimony of how God brought you to it, walked you through it, brought you back home again. And for those of you that don't know this, Jason mentioned earlier that Terrell was our pastor in Cheyenne years ago. So Jessica, his wife, actually graduated from high school in Cheyenne. So she's coming back to the same house that she lived in when she was there. I think we've added an extra bedroom and bathroom since she lived there. And it's been painted and some new carpet and things like that, but still a lovely home.
It is. And we are very grateful. That I have told people, I am so, so, so thankful we did not have to come back on top of everything else and try to find a place to live.
Right.
We came into having a place where we could live, didn't have to worry about renting something and then trying to buy something eventually. It's just been a tremendous blessing for us to have a parsonage to live in. So.
Well, that's tremendous. And, you know, in thinking back in my life, as a young teenager and going to Falls Creek, I really felt called into missions at that time. But I never, because life takes over sometimes, I never got to do anything in foreign missions until I was 65 years old and had retired or semi-retired from a job. And it was at that point, or maybe 62, that I began to get to go with a group to Honduras. And just talking about the little villages, and they're not as high as you were talking about as far as height goes. But in Honduras, we would fly into Tegucigalpa and then drive only about 50 miles, I think. But it would be an hour and a half trip. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go into the different villages in the mornings. Or each day we would go and pick a village, and it might only be 10 miles, but the roads were so unlike roads that one of the villages was 12 miles. It took us an hour to get there because it's just like a trail through a pasture on a lot of them. And the people there, unlike where you were having to do missions, they had such a thirst for the Lord. And so that was so gratifying to be able to know that we've been able to come and we've been able to minister to them and see people saved. And I can't imagine how challenging it would be to go into a country where you had to just keep it under wraps so much of the time. Yeah. But as we've talked about many times on this program, it's not always about saying things. It's a matter of showing Christ through you. And that's so important for them to see the influence that Christ has, to see Christ in you. And so that's kind of what you were having to work under the wraps of.
Yeah. And as we see, I mean, over church history and even in the book of Acts, often where there is the most opposition to the gospel, God is most at work in those places. Mm-hmm. And the gospel advances very quickly in those places. God confounds the wisdom of man. We think in places where there's just open religious freedom that things would be easy and the gospel would go forward, no problem. But often it's the most difficult places where God seems to work salvation in just leaps and bounds. And so it's really just a remarkable thing the way he works.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming in today, Jason. I appreciate it. We've enjoyed this so much, and our eyes are open somewhat to what foreign missionaries have to go through in these different countries. So for me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Jason, have a blessed day. We'll see you back in here tomorrow. Pastor Dwight will be here. For those of you that watch all the time, you know he usually comes the first and third Wednesday of the month, but we had snow all last week, and so we didn't come in 3 days last week. So he'll be in here tomorrow. So have a great day, and we will see you then.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
You know, sometimes we can't always make it to church, but here's the good news. Church is coming to you. It's coming to you on your TV screen, or on your tablet, or your computer, or even your phone. We do it every weekend, and it's called Harvest at Home. We have worship. We have a message from the Word of God. If you want to find out more, just go to harvest.org. And join us this weekend for Harvest at Home.
Count on one thing. Yes, I will.